Joining us now, Steve Kastenbaum, our correspondent in Pyeongchang, South Korea, on the phone with us now. Steve, good morning, sir, and good evening.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you back. All right, so there's a lot going on here. We saw the news, Shaun White pulling off what he'd hoped to and winning Olympic gold yet again in his third Olympics. Tell us about everything that's going on over there.
Yeah, it was a quite amazing day. This happened for us. It was early morning. Well, late morning. For you, it was prime time last night. Before you guys went to bed, you got to watch Shaun White come down in his third and final run in the Olympics here, and he took advantage of the fact that the Japanese athlete had a bit of a falter on a landing
after one of his tricks, and that opened the door for Shaun White, who was in second place. But he wound up taking advantage of that and doing two really difficult tricks back-to-back, 1400s back-to-back, and it was quite spectacular for him.
It was amazing to watch. That was unbelievable. His run was fantastic. And if you haven't seen it, you have to watch it. You watched that. It was just awe-inspiring. I sat there and said, like, how does he do that? It was amazing.
It really was. I mean, he actually said that, before the run, he put this together that morning. Like, this was going to be his big thing. And he didn't know what he was going to do, really, until he got out there and he put together these two really difficult back-to-back 1400s. And this is the same trick that he hurt himself on when he was in New Zealand that put him in the hospital. So he, like, faced his fears and did it not once but twice.
Wow.
Here before a huge crowd at the half pipe. And it was he got really emotional afterwards when he was hugging his mom.
Yes.
Tell me if you can hear this, by the way. I'm not sure if
we can. We have a direct link now. Go ahead.
Okay, here. Tell me if you hear this, though.
It seems to have been a misunderstanding.
Actually, that's not him. Hold
on. But we do hear it, so that's a good sign.
Okay, he talked about this last run and how difficult it was.
Honestly, this is one of the most challenging runs I've ever done. I didn't even link the combination, the 14 to 14, until I got here today, this morning. So, honestly, I'm just so happy with my performance. I'm proud of the other riders for pushing me this whole time. And I don't even know where we go from here.
So, where does he go from here? I mean, this is his fourth Olympics, you know, and then can he come back for a fifth? I don't know. He said at the beginning of these games that he feels stronger than ever, and that for him right now, it's really just a mind game.
It's amazing that was Team USA's 100th gold, correct?
Yes, and the fourth gold of these games. We still have a ways to go here, and we certainly could pick up some more medals, but especially in figure skating, maybe in downhill. We'll see what happens in other competitions, but snowboarding was by far the one team here that the United States was destined to excel in.
Steve, where else have you been concentrating your attention while you've been over there?
The issue has been the weather, actually, besides for different sports. I'm watching right now Team USA's hockey team, which is, interesting considering that the NHL owners wouldn't play ball with the IOC. And as a result, we don't have the NHL stars on the ice. But still, the games are a major attraction here. But the weather has been a big, big issue. The winds, today we had some really crazy wind warnings constantly setting off these alerts on our phones. They had to cancel another alpine event, the women's slalom. Tomorrow, they're going to try to run the men's downhill and the women's giant slalom on two different alpine courses, and they think they'll be able to get it in, but the International Federation, the International Ski Federation, they said it was so windy at the top of the mountains that they couldn't stand. And then down at the coastal cluster in Gangyang, they actually had to close the Olympic Plaza during the gusty winds because it was so dangerous with these temporary buildings that they have. A lot of them are these, giant tent structures. They closed down the souvenir store. They call it the superstore. People who had tickets for events today, they had them sort of waiting, lining up at an art center across the street, and then 90 minutes before the start of an event, they ushered them over. Tomorrow, they think the winds will die down, but this is going to be a reoccurring theme here because this region of South Korea is just known for these really strong, constant winds.
Steve, you mentioned the men's hockey team. I want to dwell on that for a second because not having those NHL players puts them at a skills disadvantage. How much of a disadvantage, though? Is America going to be competitive here this year?
You know, they're not going to be as competitive as they could be against the OAR team, the team without a country, right? The Olympic athletes from Russia, because Russia has its own league, and some of the players on the team are from that Russian league, and they're NHL quality, quite frankly. And so it's going to be difficult for Team USA when they face them on the ice, and some of these other European teams as well. It's unfortunate that the NHL decided to take the stance that they did. Well, the owners, really, not the league. And but we'll see. You know, Americans, we have this history of pulling out some great victories on the ice, obviously going back to Lake Placid. And it's still, you know, I'm watching the hockey game right now. It's still really good quality hockey.
I love when you say the Olympic athletes from Russia. Like, that was a real sanction that they actually stopped Russia from participating by renaming their team. Steve, thank you very, very much. We'll check back in with you as the Olympics move along.
My pleasure.
Thanks a lot. 723 here on WML.